If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
From the traitorous state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show as a means to tell you, all you liberals out there, we know that you are wrong and we are right. You are listening to hour one of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this nation with Obama and his minions, and showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through Conservative Nation Media, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
We had, I was watching the beginning of this show, and I had noticed that it showed me online 30 seconds before it actually started up, and it kept saying that it was waiting for host to call in. Well, I was already there, but it didn't tell me that my show was starting in 5 seconds until after 30 seconds of that had gone by. So the clock on my on-air thing is, my studio is completely off today. So that hopefully that doesn't throw me off. Hello, Duke. One of the things that I've been listening to lately is the tone of leadership that Obama uses when he is talking, or rulership, I should say, because he's not a leader. He doesn't say that he is going to go to the American people to find out what is wanted for this country and what can bring this economy back to prosperity. Oh, no, he doesn't do that. He shows all the signs of being a complete dictator, not the president that he was elected to be. And the really sad part of this is he still has around 45% of the people supporting him in this nation. And to me, that is sick. But on Tuesday, he said some things that any true American should cringe at. He talked like a complete dictator and said he was going to take the time to start making law, which is not what he can do according to the Constitution. On Tuesday, he convened his first cabinet meeting of the year in the White House, and here is what dictator Obama said, and this is with some commentary following it that Rush added in there. This is taken from the Rush Limbaugh show, but here's what our dictator said.
And he announced at his cabinet meeting how he's going to deal with this.
I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions, administrative actions that move the ball forward. And I've got a phone that allows me to convene Americans from every walk of life, nonprofits, businesses, the private sector, universities, to try to bring more and more Americans together around what I think is a unifying theme, making sure that this is a country where if you work hard, you can make it.
This is just, he's basically bragging about the fact that he can do executive orders to make things fair. He can do executive orders and executive actions to get rid of the unfairness. He's going to make this lousy country finally fair. Never mind, he's been running it for 5 years. Never mind the fact that his entire economic policy has undermined the old saw about working hard, you can make it. Because not only can you not work hard, you can't work. We're up to 92 million Americans not in the labor force. But this is classic Limbaugh theorem stuff. This is Obama as an outsider saying he's looking at Washington and country, and he sees all of this inequality and all of this unfairness, and he's just at his wits' end now. He's tried and he's tried and he's tried. He's got these Republicans that standing in his way. He's like, okay, I'm going to just start writing executive orders. The hell with it. I'm going to.
And that, you know, that's exactly what he's doing. He's deciding to bypass the whole system set up by the founding fathers and the Constitution. He's going to bypass it all. To heck with what Congress says. To heck with what the Republicans say. He's going to bypass them because they're not going to give him what he wants. And I don't care what dictator Obama has to say. It's just like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism works fine till you run out of other people's money. And this man doesn't give a damn about this country, and it is about time that someone other than Rush Limbaugh said so. We have a president who gets mad and throws a childish tantrum every time the government works the way it should and doesn't give him what he wants. Now he's saying he is tired of the Republicans in the House going against his plans for this country. To hell with the reasons. So he is going to use his pen and his phone to get things done without them. Is this the way this country was founded to work? No, it isn't. And that isn't how we should be allowing him to do it. It's time we set him straight. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on the January the 18th of 2014. It seems that the one thing that our unbestowed leader can't seem to get is the fact that he is just an employee of the people, a highly and, granted, overly paid employee, but an employee nonetheless. But he thinks differently than you and I do, differently than most every other president we have ever had does. And now, and the difference now is that he is getting away with things that other presidents who thought like him didn't. And it is all because of the color of his skin, nothing more. And that and the fact that the media created this man, but this man shows us his true intentions almost every day. And I have a few things that can show you just how bad Obama is for this nation. Let's go back 80 years to 1934. Huey P. Long was governor of Louisiana between 1928 and 32. In 1930, Long, a radical populist, was elected to the U.S. Senate. The Kingfish was a friend to the poor and coined the slogan, "Every man a king, but no one wears a crown," which was taken from William J. Bryan's Amos and Andy's radio program. Long's brief 3 years in the U.S. Senate earned him a reputation as being one of the most flamboyant and provocative senators in the nation's history. The biggest challenge posed by Long was his adverse disagreement with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal program. In 1934, Long organized the alternative political group called the Share Our Wealth Society, which focused on the collection and redistribution of our wealth throughout the country. He highly disagreed with any individual having a large fortune. Kind of sounds familiar with our group of people in office today. But with his program, Long promised every American would be guaranteed an annual income of $2,500, and that was back in 1934 now, and a homestead worth $5,000. Through his politicking and advertising, Long gained about 8 million supporters for his Share the Wealth program, something that our now socialistic president has been doing. Give a listen to Howie Long and the governor of Louisiana in 1934, December 11th.
None shall be too big and none too poor. Cut 13. Go.
We're not going to destroy the Gulf Refining Company. We're not going to destroy the Standard Oil Company. But we're going to say that the limit of any one man's stock ownership in the Standard Oil Company is from $3 to $5 million to that individual, and that the balance of the people of America own the balance of what the Standard Oil Company's worth. All right. Then we start from the bottom, that the 25 or more million American families shall have a homestead, a home, and the comforts of a home, including an automobile and a radio the things it takes in that house to live on. We say to America, 125 million, none shall be too big, none shall be too poor, none shall work too much, none shall be idle. No luxurious mansions empty, none walking the streets, none impoverished, none in pestilence, none in want, but in the land blessed by the smile of the Creator, with everything to be consumed, to be eaten, to be worn, that America will become a land sharing the fruits of the land, not for the favored few, not to satisfy greed, but that all may live in a land in which the Lord has provided an abundance sufficient for the luxury and convenience of the people in general.
Now, that kind of brings me back to the executive orders that our now president is deciding that he's going to do because Congress won't give him what he wants. Well, here's Long back 80 years ago telling us that he wanted to limit the wealth Americans because no American should be able to be as wealthy as they can get, and no American should be as poor as they could get. Howie Long is telling us that we have to share the wealth and socialize this nation. We had to do this to save this nation. Sounds a lot like Obama? Well, it is. But it also shows us that in the 80 years that separates these speeches, things on the left have not changed one single bit. They are still totally addicted to the cause of changing this country from the constitutional republic that it was founded to be to a socialistic nation of giving to the poor so the rich disappear. Folks, the problem here is there is nothing wrong with being rich. The ones in the government who are struggling so hard to get rid of the rich are rich themselves, sometimes beyond any of their imagination. Some still have no clue as to how to handle their riches, something that they have, but they think is unfair for anyone else to have. Why is that? It all stems from the idea that of inequality, or so that is what they tell us anyway. But I am going to tell you just what this whole thing is really about. Hello, Lady Michelle. The reason that they do not want any of us to be rich is because without riches, they have power over us. And in a word, that is the reason they have always wanted to make sure that no one is rich except for them, and no one is really poor, and that is the power. But here's the problem with their ideals here. More and more of the rich are dropping out of the ranks, and more of the businesses that they own are going out of business, putting more and more people out of work. That one fact here puts more and more of us in the poorhouse. And then to make themselves look good in the eyes of the people, they manipulate the unemployment roll so that it looks really good for them, yet not so good for us. They are now saying that the unemployment rate in the nation is around 7%, but they manipulate the numbers so that there are those of us who are or have been out of work that have never been considered unemployed by the government. If you do not get unemployment or if you have not applied for it, the government does not consider you unemployed. And if you are not listed as unemployed, the actual unemployment numbers, instead of the numbers that they give you, the actual unemployment rate in our nation is really closer to 13 or 14%. Obama cannot use these numbers because if he did, presidency would be perceived as a failure by him or anybody else. And if he can manipulate the figures, then he can delude himself and us for that matter that he is still working to do good for the people. You see how now that what our president is doing to this nation? I certainly hope so, because he is trying to push the fact that what he is doing for this nation is good. And we, the people, should be thankful for all he is doing. Drop on our knees and give him thanks. But don't fall for this, folks. He is dying. He is lying to us and has since day one. I don't care, but, you know, and I am not saying this because of the color of his skin. I don't care about that. Never have. I do not care about that. What I do not care about is his policies. policies that are destroying our nation's national pride and the way that the world perceives us to be. Most of us are not thinking that America is on the road to destruction, and sadly, if we don't change the direction this administration is leading us, we are going to realize true socialism and its consequences soon enough, and our children and their children's children and theirs too will be paying all their lives to try to get us out of this mess, the Obama mess. History will see it that way, though it has been worked towards this mess for over 80 years now. Now, do you understand why conservative Americans are and have been against the Obama administration, against their policies? I certainly hope so. I kind of went over on that one, but I thought that was well worth it. America is still the freest country on earth, and those who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I'm going to go ahead and go right on to my next break. My timing is completely off. Well, I guess I've still got a couple more minutes. I keep looking over the internet and reading the news in hopes of learning something new and finding out the efforts of the traditional conservative Americans to save this nation and catching anyone's attention. Sadly, here in America, the leaders don't seem to take notice of what we patriotic Americans have been saying, but we can look to another source to find it. Let's go to Russia, to Vladimir Putin, in the shortest speech he has ever given. It tells just what the world knows about America, but our leaders do not. Give a listen to this one. He said on August 4th of 2013, the Russian president addressed the Duma, which is the Russian parliament, and gave a speech about the tensions of minorities in Russia. He said, in Russia, live like Russians. Any minority from anywhere, if it wants to live in Russia, to work and eat in Russia, should speak Russian and should respect the Russian laws. If they prefer Sharia law and live the life of Muslims, then we advise them to go to those places where that's the state law. Russia does not need Muslim minorities. Minorities need Russia, and we will not grant them special privileges or try to change our laws to fit their desires, no matter how loud they yell discrimination. We will not tolerate disrespect of our Russian culture. We better learn from the suicides of America, England, Holland, and France if we are to survive as a nation. The Muslims are taking over those countries, and they will not take over Russia. Russian customs and traditions are not compatible with the lack of culture or the primitive ways of Sharia law and the Muslims. When this honorable legislative body thinks of creating new laws, it should have in mind the Russian national interest first, observing that the Muslim minorities are not Russians. The politicians in Duma gave Putin a 5-minute standing ovation on that one. If you keep this to yourself, you are part of the problem. That is a sad day when a communist makes more sense than our own president. There it was. There are many points in this short speech by the Russian leader of Russia that if used by American leaders would get rid of a good portion of the problems we are facing today. But will Obama and the left take note? Not on your life. They have their own agenda, and it isn't good for America. I'm not speaking out of turn here. If you follow the facts of it all, conclusion two, I guarantee it that you, if you have any common sense at all, we will be right back after these messages.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Okay, well, that is not the way it should be. Let's see here.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
From CNSnews.com comes this one. It seems that we have more conservatives out here than just Mike Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. This one from Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. Seems he told the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee on January 16th, he shows that Obama and all the global warming freakoids make up most of what they are saying. He said that the president must have fabricated two oft-repeated climate claims. Both statements are false, he told the EPW of Obama's global warming claims, since neither the EPA nor the UN IPCC climate group can provide any supporting statistics. He said, on multiple occasions, and most recently on May 30th of last year, President Obama has said, and this is a quote that he has used several times, he said that the temperature around the globe is increasing faster than was predicted even 10 years ago, and that the climate is warming faster than anybody anticipated 5 or 10 years ago. Both statements are false, and through letters to you, Ms. McCarthy, on the record of this committee, we have asked the EPA to provide us with the data backing up these two statements and the two statements made by the president that they don't have any data for, and referred us to the UN IPCC. Now, this is from Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. He continued, and their scientists, apparently the EPA thought they were the source of this. Well, we went back there, and they had nothing to back it up. So apparently the president has just made that up. And I think that's very important, because when you get statements that are made, they're supposed to be logic and on truth, and you have to check them out. Last week's record cold temperature brought the global warming debate back to the public's attention, and that's only important to the extent that it's bringing more awareness to the uncertainty of the science around the debate. The truth completely contradicts the president's statements, Jim Inhofe said, noting the temperatures have flatlined over the past 15 years, something no climate model used to promote global warming theory ever predicted. When you go back and look at the temperature projections from the climate models and compare them to actual temperatures, two things were readily evident. First, temperatures have flatlined over the last 15 years, and second, an average of over 100 climate models from the last decade shows that the scientific community did not predict this would happen. And to my knowledge, this is not a single climate model ever predicted that a pause in global warming would ever occur. Senator Sessions is going to go deeper into this. The truth completely contradicts the president's statements and begs the question why he and the EPA not only continue to deny the truth, but why it has raced to stop this information from disseminating into scientific record. Now, this is something that I have been saying for years now. Global warming is a sham, and the liberals and the global warming fanatics won't give up because it has turned into a multi-million dollar business, and a bunch of people have gotten rich off of the lies that have been told and the money that we have been forced to pay to cover these lies. Remember, I have posted the locations of actual climate stations that are being used by global warming climate change people, so-called professionals, to get information that they tell us that and make laws because of. Remember, we have found them on rooftops of buildings where the sun beating down on it makes it sometimes ungodly hot. They have been placed close to exhaust systems of giant air conditioners on buildings where the hot air rushes out and changes the surrounding temperatures, in essence making the stations lie about real temperatures. They are put in the middle of asphalt parking lots where the sun, even in the winter, makes the surface warm, much warmer than the surrounding air. Global warming is a lie perpetuated on the American public to make us pay for changes in our climate that have yet to be proved. And always this stays in the forefront. Since the 1970s, our air and environment have been cleaned up more than anyone would let us believe. I have mentioned before now that in the late 60s and early 70s, how blue skies in L.A. were rare and hard to find. Today, however, we see photos of L.A. with blue skies all the time. Now, granted, being on the West Coast, we don't see blue skies there every day because there's a lot of rain on the West Coast. And when it is clear, there are now skies of blue. And you will never hear a global warming nut admitting to that kind of improvement. It is always as if if we don't change and stop driving our cars, we are all going to die. And bringing up the cars, now they are around 100% cleaner burning than they were back then, and nothing is ever said about that either. All we hear from them is, we need to use electric cars so that fossil fuels will cease to be used. Brings us to another important question. What gives us our electricity? If you guessed burning coal, then you are right. We still would be using fossil fuels and burning fossil fuels to get the electricity for the electric cars. And if everyone had one, it would put such a drain on our electrical grid that it would probably shut a lot of it down because it wasn't made for that much usage, period. Can you imagine the billions upon billions we would have to fork out to make this country ready for that? Let me tell you, folks, we are nowhere near ready for that. But the left really doesn't care about that. Global warming nuts don't care about that. They just want to make sure that count money for something that they say is true, whether it is or not, doesn't matter. And we have to continue to do this stuff because if we don't, we're all going to die. Well, I have some bad news for those guys. We're all going to die anyway. If you're human and you're alive, you're going to die sometime or another, most likely before anything really bad happens. But then again, you never really can tell, can you? And I'm looking at my two clocks, and one of them says it's 28 after. The other one says it's 30 after. So I will go to my break, which is at 30 after. I'll be right back after these messages. Oh, heck. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. I know millions of people have. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year, and there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that she did.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book really impresses me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace, for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Talking about how I can't see how much more that Piers Morgan has to do to get him taken off the air for anti-American hatred that he is always spewing. Well, it seems that point hasn't been reached yet, just like Obama's point hasn't been reached yet, and this has me wondering just where the intelligence of the American people has gone. On the 17th of January came this story from CNSnews.com that has the headline, CNN host blames Ambassador Stevens for his own death in Benghazi attack by Matt Vespa. And you guessed it, CNN's Piers Morgan actually blamed Ambassador Stevens for his own death when discussing the latest Senate report about the Benghazi terrorist attack, and he was discussing it with Senator John McCain of Arizona. Well, I was sitting there thinking that I was going to play this audio and I was going to hear John McCain agree with him. Well, surprise of surprises, surprisingly, Senator John McCain seems to stand up for what Stevens did, and here is what was said on that show.
When you actually get into the weeds of this pretty lengthy report, it is also very clear that one of the people who may be most to blame for not reacting to the threat and for increasing security, despite being urged to repeatedly, was the ambassador himself. And obviously, you know, you don't want to speak ill of a man who was killed in such appalling circumstances, but is it fair to also say that he, as the ambassador, should have done more to react to direct warnings that he was given on numerous occasions?
Well, I think it's important to point out that he had asked for additional assistance. What he turned down was additional military assistance, but he certainly sounded a number of warnings about the deteriorating situation, including 10 terrorist organizations, that outfits that were right there in Benghazi. I think that Christopher Stevens was very aware of the threat. He did make the State Department aware of that, and the only time he really turned down help was when it was a uniform military assistance that was offered.
Well, you know, and it seems to me that Mr. Morgan just will not learn, or he's not coming up with his own statistics on what is supposed to be, what really happened. He just kind of wings it and cuffs it from his own cuff, not taking into account every news media that I have heard from, including CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, were all reporting that Stevens had called for help, was calling for help, and was drastically terrified that they were all going to die if something didn't happen. It was Hillary Clinton who was ignoring that whole thing. But maybe it is time to remove him from his post on CNN and take his show off the air. And if CNN can't do it, then we need to completely stop watching this farce of a program. Now I know that no matter what, some of the sycophants here in America who are still supporting Obama, against all common sense, by the way, will continue to watch this limey idiot, so he will most likely be kept on his show. But if you look at the standings, they are horrible. If a good show was getting the kind of ratings that he is and most of the shows on CNN are, they would be canceled. This, to me, is just another proof that shows the liberal mentality of the lamestream media that is always telling us the lies to help Obama and the left in our nation. My idea on this is we have seen the proof of their lies, so why do so many people still support them? The one question that I keep coming to, and it makes me wonder if this country really has a future left in front of her. Obama says that our best days are not behind us. Common sense tells us that if Obama and the left continue their down the road to destruction, our best days are far behind us, and we have nothing left but the continuing decay of the America that we all know and love. Patriotism to these liberal cronies is the enemy, not Obama's policies. The Constitution is the enemy, not the national debt that continues to grow minute by minute. America is in trouble, and it's time the people stood up and began fighting to save her. I know I am working towards that end now. I will be ready when they come for my freedoms, because they won't get them easily, because I will fight for them. Our Constitution gives me that right, and no leftist or faux conservative is going to take them away from me. Even Chicago, it seems to be coming out of their stupor of liberal rules and conditions. Remember a judge that ruled against the city's gun laws a few weeks ago? I do, and I won't forget it, because if we don't, this nation is on one of its last decades as a fundamentally good nation that will be safe for us and our children. Mark my words here, folks. We are not helping our situation by continuing to listen to the idiots like Piers Morgan, who knows less than my 12-year-old about what America is really. And I came up with this, it just kind of flew into my head that, you know, Piers Morgan knows less about America than my 12-year-old. And sadly, my 12-year-old doesn't know much about America. They just don't teach that anymore in schools, it seems. But the things that we as parents need to start doing is our schools are leaving out massive amounts of information that the kids should be knowing. It just appalls me, some of the things that my daughter right now doesn't know that I knew at her age, and I had been taught before her age. She's essentially in junior high right now, and some of the things that she doesn't know just really catches me in a bad way, I think. But I guess the best thing we could probably do for our kids is to homeschool them, but the problem with that is who's got the time with as much as we have to work to keep our families from going under anymore. And it's like I have said several times on the show already, but the time clock on my on-the-air stream that tells what time I have left, and the true clock is about 5 minutes off, so I'm going to be kind of having a little bit of problems hitting my stuff exactly when it should be, but I think I'm going to follow the on-air one, because if I don't, I'm going to go off air before I finish, and that won't be good. But that's where some of my difficulties today are at, because usually those two clocks are just right on the money. Today, they're not. They're off by quite a bit. So where my problems are coming in, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, as it is in all of ours, I think. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Wednesdays. Give our leader a listen. He has a heck of a good show, and that's where America always wins. From CNSnews.com again, they have another story on the new budget of Obama's, it being a $1.1 trillion budget, a $1.1 trillion omnibus bill cleared the Senate and headed to the president's desk, which did some harsh words for the Republican Party from Media Research Center's Brent Bozell. While this budget agreement will keep government operating until September 30th, Bozell noticed that this bill is 1,500 pages of spending more money we don't have and sticking future generations of Americans with IOUs. We have seen this movie too many times to count, this cute little game of increased spending now and promised cuts later. Is an infuriating shell game, a game of deception, and it's why people are so fed up with Washington. American people are being squeezed. Most have experienced stagnant wages thanks to the policies of this president and the go-along Republicans in Congress. There is no courage or principle left among the leadership of the Republican Party. They govern based on fear and what discredited Republican pollsters tell them to say. The heart and soul of the Republican Party in the grassroots is strong, courageous, and principled. I have never seen a bigger divide between the GOP leadership and the grassroots conservatives, rank-and-file Republicans, and Tea Party supporters. With this budget, the leadership of the Republican Party again demonstrates that when it comes to the fiscal discipline and responsibility, they continue to be AWOL. By passing this, the leadership of the Republican Party is only aiding and abetting the future bankruptcy of America, unquote. And that was Brent Bozell of CNSnews.com. He goes on to say, all the programs the GOP leadership has repeatedly promised to end, Obamacare, taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood, public broadcasting, and others are still being funded. So what's the difference between Boehner and Pelosi and McConnell and Reid? The answer? The Democratic leadership honors its promises. The Republican leaders have abandoned theirs. Unquote. Ouch. After all, Citizens Against Government Waste isn't a fan of this bill either, since it gutted the spending caps placed on under sequestration. Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times wrote on January 14th that, quote, $112.9 million for the Rural Utilities Service, $90 million for the continued upgrade of M1 Abrams, $60 million for alternative energy research, $341 million for Army Corps of Engineers, $4 million for aquatic plant control, okay, whatever that is, $45.1 million for high-intensity drug trafficking area programs, $98 million for the Democratic National Domestic Preparedness Consortium, $25 million for the National Pre-Disaster Mitigation Fund, $9.3 million for Heritage Partnership Programs through the National Park Services, and $14.4 million for Rural Hospital Flexibility Grant. Okay, We will be right back after these messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, Amber Alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
After the Daily Roll Call show last night, I went to the Blaze Network and found an article on the freest states in the United States, and it showed them from number one, which was North Dakota, to the least, which was New York. But the surprises came in the states that have been the only two states that have run their budgets in the black, Texas and Indiana. Texas didn't even break the top 10, which surprised me a lot, and they were ranked number 14 overall. Fiscally, they are ranked number 10. Personal freedom, they are ranked at 31. Regulatory, they are ranked at number 24. That to me was a surprise. But the other one that surprised me was Indiana. We are ranked at number 16 overall. Fiscally, we are ranked at number 38. But personal freedoms was at number 7, where Indiana excels is the regulatory way, and there we are number 1. The top 5 freest states are: number 1 is North Dakota, number 2 is South Dakota, number 3 is Tennessee, number 4 is New Hampshire, and number 5 is Oklahoma. This, from the Blaze, gave me some surprises. Idaho came in at number 6, Missouri came in at number 7, Virginia, another surprise, came in at 8. The number 9 spot was taken by Georgia, and to round out the top 10 was Utah. At the bottom of the list were two states that didn't come as a surprise, I think, to anyone. California is ranked at number 49, and New York is ranked at number 50. They are the least free state of them all. And Illinois, you know, Chicago, one of the least free cities in this nation. How did Illinois rank? They ranked way down there, too, at number 45. I also looked up Delaware because we have a few people here at Conservative Nation Media that hails from that state, and it's ranked at number 17, with their best mark in the regulatory section ranking right behind Indiana at number 2. So there you go, Duke. One of the states that I have always wanted to visit came in at a measly number 47, Hawaii. That is our, and our great northern state, it came in above Indiana, Delaware, Texas, and Texas at number 13, with a personal freedom of being at number one. So there you have it, a good rundown of the freest states in the United States. If you want to see the interactive state that I got these numbers from, you can go to your own state and do, and they've got an interactive map there where you can just move the cursor over your own state and it gives you all the information. And you just go to blaze.com and look up the article that's titled, Here Are the 10 Freest States in the U.S. and the Least. Have fun with that one, because I sure did. It actually gave me a whole bunch of surprises there. I really didn't think that Virginia would rank that well. West Virginia was somewhere around 45 or 44 or something like that. So they were way down there. But the ones that really surprised me were Texas and Indiana, because they, like I've been kind of touting on my show, you know, they're the only two states that have been running their budgets in the black for most of these last year or so, but they are not even in the top 10. And that one really surprised me. But I go to these different sites and find all this information, and some of it is surprising. Most of it I already knew, like California and New York being the 49th and the 50th freest states in the United States. Those are things that I pretty much knew. And anyone who has listened to the news about how badly California is doing and how badly New York is doing, we all knew this one. So it was something that didn't come as a surprise to, I think, anyone. But it's a show that right now, I think California has been under liberal rule since Reagan left. And, of course, they've had a couple of Republican governors there, but they've been nothing but liberalized Republicans. They were not conservative. They were not constitutional people who wanted to do things by the Constitution as Reagan did. But it seems like this nation is falling under the ideals that the Constitution doesn't matter anymore. And I don't really think that that is what most people feel. I think that most people feel the Constitution is the way to go. But the problem is we keep electing leaders who don't like the Constitution and who want to get rid of it. Obama, when he was elected into office, I thought was the first time I thought was a freak that should never have happened, and it wouldn't happen again. And then comes the second election when he ran for his second term, and he won that one. That one blew me away. I did not think we were dumb enough to let that happen again. But I think that when it comes to that one, I think there was a lot of things that swung that in his direction when it shouldn't have. I think that there was a lot of cheating going on in that election. I think it's just like when the Coleman-Franken race in Minnesota happened. You know, Franken lost, and he lost through several recalls on that one, and he kept wanting to have recounts of the votes until he had found enough votes in the backs of, in the trunks of cars to finally win, and there he is today, you know, someone who to me is an illegitimate person in Senate and shouldn't be there because he didn't win. And I don't, that it's, you know, and, you know, if it had been the other direction, the other way around, it would have been fought until they won. Yeah, I think if Obama would have lost that last election, we would have had recount after recount until the whole thing came down to the way they wanted it to happen, and that's him getting his second term. Bringing this back up again, Mike Hawks are apart from each other right now. One of them shows that I've only got about 3 minutes left on in this hour of the show. The other one shows 5 minutes, so I'm going with my on-air clock, which only shows 3 minutes left, and hopefully it doesn't screw everything up, but it has sure given me some pause for concern on a bunch of things that I have tried to do. But we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show do our best to deal with the problems that have been given to us through BTR, and it's something that happens all the time, so I guess we're all kind of used to that now. But we will be doing okay here, I suppose. One of the things that I have been watching on this whole thing with Obama and his leadership is that I really don't think that Obama is a leader. I think that he is, what he's trying to be is a dictator, and I think he'd be, when it comes to being a dictator, I think he'd be an excellent one, as dictators go, that is. He has all the ideals of a dictator. He has all the desires of a dictator. He has none of a democratically or a republically, because he's not. He never has been a democratically elected president. He has never been what we have always considered a president to be. But that is something that we're going to have to put up with for another several years, I am afraid, because we got bamboozled into getting him for a second term. And now he's sitting in the White House, holier than thou, blaming the Republicans for everything that isn't going on his way. And it just amazes me. I can remember back when Bush had been president for, I'd say 6 months, he said something, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it may mention something that had happened during Clinton's term. And one of the Democrats came back at him and hit him with this idea that it's not that term anymore. You have had this country for 6 months. It's yours. Stop talking about the previous administration. Well, we have had Obama for now 5 years, and he's still blaming the previous administration. He won't take the blame for himself, even though that's where it lies right at the moment. He won't take, boy, my mind goes blank every once in a while at the wrong time, but he won't take accountability for the actions of his administration, which has been in power for 5 years. He's still blaming the previous administration. When is somebody going to stand up and say, hey, now wait a minute, this is your baby, Barack. Handle it.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that.
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. And what about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous.
When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent in the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs its budget in the black, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show. I am Robert the Infidel Garding here to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, and we are proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we are being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, here again is your host, Robert Garding.
The Attorney General, Eric Holder, has reportedly decided to unilaterally disarm the Justice Department in the war on terror. Yes, in the interest of political correctness, Holder will put this nation's law enforcement units in handcuffs. Holder is reportedly considering expanding the definition of radical or racial profiling in a way that would prohibit federal law enforcement agents of all kinds from considering religion and national origin in investigations, including, it would appear, in counterterrorism efforts and possibly surveillance. If indeed he follows through on promises made to New York Mayor Bill de Blasio and reported in yesterday's or the day before's New York Times, Holder should quite simply be impeached. Now, one supports radical profiling. No one supports radical profiling in the conduct of ordinary policing, nor do we support the harassment of our Muslim neighbors and friends. But to ignore the role of radical Islamists as a genuine security threat to this nation is nothing short of insane. It is kind of the political correctness run amok that has led to grannies and toddlers being strip searched at airports, all the while the increasingly radicalized Tamerlan Tsarnaev was able to travel back and forth to a hotbed of Islamist terrorisms like Dagestan, unchecked and unmolested. Linda Sarsour, S-A-R-S-O-U-R, the advocacy director of the National Network for Arab American Communities, was practically giddy at the possibility of expanding the rules on profiling and telling the Times, quote, adding religion and national origin is huge. But if they don't close the national security loophole, then it's really irrelevant. Loophole? Well, tell the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing about closing that loophole, maybe while they try on their new prosthetic limbs, and then explain the manifesto left behind in that boat by Dishakar Sarnov when the police were closing in on him, the one that read, "When you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims." Then ponder how Holder's move will make this nation safer. Now, this article came from the BostonHerald.com, so you see even the lamestream media is starting to say stuff. But don't get used to it. They will revert soon enough. From the Goldman file from the National Review comes some fresh air about a stale subject, you know, Hillary Clinton, the one that just won't go away even though the left thinks we are being sexist for not wanting her, because what difference does it make? What we get about Hillary is nothing more than propaganda. You know, propaganda is a form of communication aimed towards influencing the attitude of community towards some cause or position by presenting only one side of an argument. Propaganda statements may be partially false and partially true. Propaganda is usually repeated and dispersed over a wide variety of media in order to create the chosen result in audience attitudes, something the lamestream media is excellent at doing, but I digress. Say you work for a company that depends on sales, like, you know, well, what other company is there, but like they all do. Imagine you have a saleswoman who everyone says is the best, the best. Whenever you point out that her sales numbers stink, everyone calls you a sexist, that you just don't get it. You respond, "What has she done?" The universal answer is, she clocked more miles on sales calls than anybody in company history. She's driven 1 million miles. 1 million miles. You ask, yeah. But has she, you know, sold anything? Sexist, you just don't get it, is their response. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. When you ask her diehard supporters what she did as Secretary of State, they start with, she traveled 1 million miles, more than any other Secretary of State. Put aside the fact that more than any other Secretary of State part isn't actually true. Condi Rice flew more. You start losing the truth of the matter. So when you ask, okay, there are something, or you get some stuff about championing women's rights, two people have told me that she did good work in Myanmar. But I've never really gotten to the bottom of that one. I suppose I could look it up, but at the end of the day, we're still talking about Myanmar, which is not the focus of America's most pressing international problems. That's right, because Hillary prevented the Myanmarese influence over another country. Someone at MSNBC just shrieked, she stopped it cold. While the Wikipedia page on her tenure doesn't even mention Myanmar. It does mention her championing of better cook stoves in the third world. Now, that's important, isn't it? And so is improving the plight of women in various countries where their status ranges between slightly more important than the village mule to so incredibly delicate we must keep them covered with burlap sacks all day long, even though it's like 115 degrees in the shade today. Scout my hand-reached pocket. Real political calculator, I just can't make it all add up too much, particularly when you compare it with our worsening problems in the Middle East, Asia, minus Myanmar, Europe, Russia, and South America. Those problems are by no means all her fault, nor are they all Obama's fault. But Clinton was the second most important foreign policy official we had. If you were to say the assistant coach of the 1999 Cleveland Browns or the deputy spokesman for Baghdad Bob during the lead-up to the Iraq War, you might want to highlight other things on your resume. So it is with Clinton. As our chief diplomat, she presided over a long slide into foreign policy suckitude. On her watch, America's standing got worse every place it matters, except in Myanmar, of course, despite all those sales calls. So here is what difference it makes. And that leaves out the little issue of Benghazi. The Senate Intelligence Committee reports is that once a fascinating and utterly uninteresting artifact, of Washington, it identifies a huge mistake. It denounces said mistake. It concludes that the mistake could have been prevented, but nobody is responsible for the mistake. The bureaucracy did it. Okay, you ask, who was in charge of that bureaucracy? Shut up, they explain. Liberal pundits and reporters are utterly contemptuous of the idea that the Benghazi scandal will be a problem for her. Eugene Robinson writes today that the Senate intelligence report is a total exoneration of the administration. This is bizarre on many levels. It is also hard to square with the fact that the White House is livid with the Democrats who signed on to the report, or so a couple of Hill folks have told me. Why get furious at an exoneration? The lack of curiosity about the report from the mainstream media is really remarkable. Why exactly aren't reporters camped outside Clinton's home demanding a reaction? I mean, I understand that she didn't close a couple of lanes on the George Washington Bridge, but four murdered Americans, including a U.S. ambassador, is important too. Maybe if she had joked about putting traffic cones in the front of the embassy on September 11th. Now what Jonah Goldberg wrote here is absolutely the truth. But as long as the media keeps getting readers, and granted their readership is now low compared to what it used to be, they still spout out this vile crap because they believe that we believe them to be purveyors of the truth, when in fact they are the best at hiding the truth with propaganda. You know that word I was talking about earlier? Telling a partial truth but leaving out essential parts of it so that their partial truth sounds plausible. The media and our politicians in Washington have been doing this so long to the American people that if there was even one grain of truth in it, we'd accept it and go on living with our lives just like nothing was going on. And that is where we have to stop being the lemmings of Washington and the media. If we are to survive as a nation, we need to stop believing completely anything that has a clause in it, like they did with the budget. In this, they are claiming that they are now saving $1 trillion. Not now, mind you, but over a period of 10 years. That part, saving a trillion, there's no way they can say this truthfully if it isn't done right now. Because over the next 10 years, the budget is going to grow each year, as it always does. And in 10 years, our budget will be astronomical compared to what it is now. And who will be able to remember the measly $1 trillion that they saved 10 years ago? I can venture a guess that no one. No, not even them, because they will be on another promise-making spree, and it will take us another 10 to 20 years down the road for it to be fulfilled. And seriously, are we really considering her to run for president? If so, she has the qualifications of Obama. She can lie easily and can denounce the truth by simply saying, what difference does it make? ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Going on to another route, today I want to write something that Charlie Daniels wrote on one of his blog posts, and it's quite relevant. He said, having performed for the people of Japan and spent time among them, it is hard to think that some 73 years ago we went to war with this mannerly, courteous, soft-spoken, gentle people. Though our cultures are vastly different, similarities between our two races are many. The Japanese have strong family ties, love and dote on their children, live in a democratic society, are ambitious, and work hard. They take pride in their islands and are fiercely protective of their territory. The Japanese are a people of great tenacity and determination. Since the middle 40s, they have turned a totally defeated and decimated imperially ruled country into a modern state-of-the-art, aggressive, and innovative democracy, a friend and ally of the United States. The Germans were formidable foes in the Second World War, smart, aggressive, and courageous. Adolf Hitler was a skillful speaker and a master manipulator and exploited the natural aggressiveness of German people by providing a focal point for their national fiscal and evil brilliance. He rewarded the true believers, empowered them, and through them forced his will on a population that realized what was happening to them too late to do anything about it. The war with Germany was long, bloody, and devastating for them, yet again, the dramatic tenacity and pride took over after the war and built the nation into an industrial powerhouse and most stable economy in the European continent. Most have forgotten, I think, or some are even unaware, that Italy was an ally of Germany in the Second World War, led by a tyrant named Benito Mussolini. They entered the war against the wishes of the Italian people and were defeated before the war even got into full swing. In any case, the wars of the 20th century were territorial for the most part, where the winner got all the marbles, planted their flag, and occupied the lands they were conquered, and we basically understood our enemies. Why we ever started interfering with the affairs of the Middle East, of Southeast Asia and Middle East, it seems, at least in retrospect, questionable. We are dealing with an ancient culture for which we had no understanding and no Rosetta Stone for deciphering it. The days of defined battlefields ended with the Second World War, and America was introduced to conflict with nations who used their overwhelming numbers of troops for fodder, sacrificing wave after wave of human lives to achieve even small military objectives, urban warfare, and human bombs. I wonder if they've bothered to ask Israel how they feel about what is going on. And he's talking about the President and Secretary of State. And now Israel really does understand the enemy. What do you think? I like reading him every once in a while, but sometimes he hits us with something that is just a little hard to take, because it shows us just how far down this nation has gone in a short period of time. We will be right back after these messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopRex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
That one. I found this one on the Independent Journal Review, and it was titled, This is the Best Explanation of Modern Liberalism You've Ever Heard, by Evan Sayeth, where he shows in practice how this theory holds up when tested by reality. He says, there's something about the ideology of liberal, of the modern liberal that we have to take into account here, folks. The modern liberal's ideology leads him to inevitably and invariably side with the evil over good, wrong over right, lesser over the better, and ugly over the beautiful, the profane over the profound, and the behaviors that lead to failure over those that lead to success. The essentials that you need to understand the modern liberal are these. The first two laws of the unified theory of liberals are these. Number one. The modern liberal is raised to believe that this indiscriminateness is a moral imperative, because its opposite is discrimination. In the 1980s, by no coincidence, when the first World War II generation was coming into power, the children of the 60s, when they became professors of the 80s, when they became entertainers of the 80s, when they became the journalists of the 80s, and when they became the Democratic Party of the 80s. In the 1980s, thinking became outlawed. It was deemed a hate crime. Anything that you believe or I believe is going to be so tainted by our personal prejudices, and we all have them as humans, we all have them, that the only way not to be prejudiced is to not think at all. And that is why their answer to everything is that they cannot control is, oh, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe. There is nothing to worry about, because there is no good, no bad. The only reason why you could be against something is because you're a racist and a homophobe or Islamophobe. They were raised to believe that indiscriminateness is a moral imperative, because it is the opposite of discrimination. And the second law of the unified theory of the modern liberal is this. Indiscriminateness of thought does not lead to discriminateness of beliefs, or indiscriminateness of beliefs. Indiscriminateness of thought leads invariably, inevitably, there is no place else it can lead to but siding with evil over good, right over wrong, ugly over beautiful, and so on. Why? Because if no religion, if no culture, if no person, no behavior, if no form of governance, if nothing is better than anything else, then success is unjust. So why should a person, a nation, a governance, government or religion succeed if it's not better than any other? So this liberalism that says that everything is equal, good is bad, right is wrong, coexists, doesn't make everything meet in the middle. It makes the better bad. This is one of the best explanations of liberalism that I have ever heard, but I can even go farther than Evan did. It makes the bad better. But it will never make everyone equal. That is where liberalism is completely wrong. Only God can make everyone equal. Mankind has always done just the opposite. It is like Evan said, as a human, discriminatory ideas are built into us, whether it be color, sex, nation of origin, beliefs, religious and otherwise, sexual orientation, conservatives or liberals and progressives, communists or capitalists, right or left. It doesn't matter to the modern liberal, and that is why. When Obama says something that is supposed to be true, he believes that we will believe him, when in fact he is lying through his teeth every time. The liberal media is much the same way. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. The Constitution is not the way this country became great. It is the reason that we are such a horrible country. Our greatness came not from us being good, but because we were greedy and capitalist. Not because we had good laws, but because we have laws that oppress those who break the law. People who are shot with guns that are illegally gotten are wrong because they followed the law that is the bad thing of America. Remember, the moderate liberal thinks that right is wrong and wrong is right. Heterosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality is right. And because the Bible condemns that, the Bible is wrong. See where this is leading us, folks? It is leading us down the road to decimation and destruction. They are not going for that. Or they are not going for that because they are wrong in their minds. They are going for that because they are right in their minds. They are not the ones who are wrong. We are. We are the ones who are destroying this nation with our constitutional ideals, with our ideals that this nation is the greatest nation that was ever on the face of the earth. We are the ones who are wrong because we believe, as Reagan did, that we are the last best hope for mankind to be free of our of government oppression, and that a similar, less intrusive government is the way to go. And folks, believe me when I tell you that once this freedom that we once enjoyed and we are losing more of daily with this government, once it is gone, it will be next to impossible to get back, if not impossible, because the government will have learned how to keep it from happening again, unless a real bloody revolution comes. And think of it. Isn't that the reason that the liberal left and some on the right are working so hard to take our guns away from us? Because without, how can we defend ourselves against a well-armed government and their forces? Now, do you see why the government is working so hard on taking our freedoms away that are guaranteed to us by our Creator and the Constitution? It amazes me the number of people that do not see this. It amazes me because it's common sense incarnate. If we just used our common sense that God gave us, we'd understand this without any possibility of doubt. But where we are losing out is because we do not have the common sense we used to have. Now, granted, we have conservatives out there who do have this common sense, but here's the problem with that. We're wrong. Remember, the government thinks we are wrong. The government thinks that we are the ones who are destroying this nation, not them. And that's just the way it seems, I guess. We will be right back after these important, and oh boy. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. But don't let that happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. That should have been Patriot Depot, and I don't have that with me right at the moment. Dang it. I forgot to change that, but it should have been my Patriot Depot thing. Let me see if I can find that here. I have to go into my other stuff. One of these days, I'll have everything ready, and people will be totally amazed at what I can do when I get my going. And here we go. Sorry about that one. That should have been this one. Let's assume that. Well, I lost it again. Oh, well. One of these days, I guess I'll... No, there it is. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradiomedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case a leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, one word, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. In this case, sorry about that, folks. I had the wrong thing out here. Should have been Patriot Depot, but let's go.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eric Darnell.
This is David Reagan.
Jamie McMurray.
This is Carl Edwards here for RED,
the entertainment industry's voice for road safety.
Want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible.
Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
When it comes to the wars that America is fighting now, I have mentioned at least three so far here on the show, but the one that I have totally left out of the mix today is the Muslim Brotherhood, the enemy within. And we are, and if we are to survive this part of the war against us, that is how we have to think of them, the enemy within, by allowing our attention to be focused exclusively on the danger and prevention of terrorism. We ignore the many other ways that we are being attacked. Specifically, we are missing what our Islamist enemies call their civilization jihad, a form of warfare that employs manipulative financial techniques, lawfare, infiltration of our social institutions and government, and insidious information dominance. Together, these have the effect of exploiting our liberties and governing structures against us so that our leaders wind up imposing the very anti-American values that our enemies promote. Welcome to the Muslim Brotherhood in America, the enemy within, a 10-part web-based video briefing that is designed to explain why and how this is happening. You can see it all on YouTube, and I'll give you the address in just a short little bit. You can see these 10 parts on YouTube if you want to find out just what we are up against here in America. It addresses a threat most Americans are unaware even exists within our country, let alone the degree of peril it represents. The threat is the totalitarian supremacist Islamic doctrine that adheres call Sharia, and the organized, disciplined, and increasingly successful efforts by such adherents, most especially the Muslim Brotherhood, to bring it here. The Center for Security Policy is making this course available in the hope of encouraging and informing and broadening support from national efforts to defeat the insinuation into the country of Sharia's anti-constitutional and seditious program. Here is a synopsis of the 10 parts that I found, folks, and this is at http://mm24.com/mm24-specials/Muslim Brotherhood in America Enemy Within.html. Part 1. The Threat Doctrine of Sharia and the Muslim Brotherhood. The first section of this briefing explains what Sharia is according to authorities and institutions of Islam as promoted most aggressively by the organization called the Muslim Brotherhood. Part 2 of this is the Brotherhood's Civilization Jihad in America. The Muslim Brotherhood's strategy for realizing its mission of destroying Western civilization from within was described in an undated 1991 Muslim Brotherhood document entitled Phases of the World Underground Movement Plan. In this part, we investigate what they're doing to implement it. Part 3, Brotherhood influence operations against policy groups like conservatives and the GOP. Yes, folks, that is in there. With this grounding in the nature of Sharia, the goals and activities of the Muslim Brotherhood is to impose its worldwide and an introduction to the latter's civilization jihad against the United States. Let's take a closer look at one of the ICWAN's most successful influence operations, and that is its penetration and manipulation of the Republican Party and the conservative movement in America. That was part 3. Part 4, Suhail Khan, a case study in influence operations. And it describes this one as, if we are to understand the full nature of the threat posed by the likes of Suhail Khan, we need to examine the Khan case study in closer detail. We'll explore both Khan's extensive ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and those he has cultivated in his own right for decades, including what he said in public about those ties. Then we'll take stock of the real service he has performed for the Islamist cause, both in the past and ongoing. Part 5 is about the organizations Islamists are using to subvert the right. The next part of this briefing offers some illustrative examples of the myriad ways in which Grover Norquist and his team are still very actively and purposefully promoting the Islamist agenda with considerable and toxic effect. Part 6 is electing Islamists. Consider how several individuals with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood or other Islamists have been groomed to run for office as Republicans. The careers of Grover Norquist, proteges, Kamal Nawash, Faisal Gill, and Imad David Ramadan are given close scrutiny. Part 7 is advancing the Islamist agendas. The first section of this briefing explains what Sharia is according to the authorities and institutions of Islam and is promoted most aggressively by an organization called the Muslim Brotherhood. And that kind of goes in with, I think, part 1. Part 8, Team Obama and the Islamists. The Obama administration has greatly exacerbated the penetration of the U.S. government achieved during the Bush administration. This part of the course will concentrate on illustrative examples of the Muslim Brotherhood associated individuals who have been allowed access to and, in some cases, given positions in the Obama administration. And last week you heard me talking about the 5 to 6 people in the White House administration that is known to be Muslim Brotherhood. This part is a case study of Rashad Hussein, Huma Abedin, Dalia Mogahed, Kifa Mustafa, Mohammed Elaberi, and Mohammed Magid, M-A-G-I-D. Part 9, Team Obama and the Islamic Agenda. In 2008, Barack Obama began fundamentally transforming the United States of America. He has certainly done it with respect to policies favored by the Islamists. See what we're up against here, folks? Obama's White House, its State Department, Defense Department, Justice Department, Department of Homeland Security, and more. And part 10, what's to be done? These are things that we need to watch. And like I had said before, it's on YouTube. The address is HTTP. Well, the synopsis of the 10 parts that I found are at www.mailmagazine24.com. And it's in there. It also has links to each one of the videos, but they're on YouTube if you have any interest in finding out just what is going on in this country when it comes to the Muslim Brotherhood and why they think that we need to be radicalized and done away with as a Western civilization. You know, this whole thing scares the living crap out of me, and, you know, I hope I'm not the only one. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately. we have that on tomorrow night. And it is a great show to listen to, and I hope you all go and listen to it. That's American by Design with Bing Fisher, and I put the link to his show in the chat room. That's Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Remember the thing that I talked about earlier about Eric Holder's war on America by taking the teeth of the Department of Justice's ability to question people? This one falls right in line with what he is doing to America. From Bare Naked Islam comes this one. In New Jersey, United Water spokesman Rich Henning told NBC workers that he heard cries for help coming from an area that has a wellhead with a storage tank, and when they arrived at the facility on Friday morning. Jim Mastrokalos, M-A-S-T-R-O-K-A-L-O-S, director of operations for the United Water, said the man was found in a decommissioned pipe that is 20 inches in diameter. He must have traversed through a basin and climbed up a pipe for reasons unknown at this time, he said. United Water is investigating surveillance video to determine how Muhammad was able to get into the facility, which is surrounded by barbed wire fencing. Mastrokalos said after sections of pipe were dismantled, emergency responders were able to get a harness around the man and pull him out of the pipe. He was freed about 11 a.m. The mayor said the man was known to police but would not elaborate. And, that's right, Eric Holder's Department of Jihad Justice won't allow the police to mention the perp's religion or national origin. Is it really in our best interest to ignore everything that history has taught us about profiling people? I think not. And the Justice Department agrees with me on this one, but only with certain groups, conservatives, Christians, white males, etc. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these short messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here. This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you can save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time, Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
And finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. The United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the actual laws of the land, our border policies and laws, the rules by which this country has always been bound to, are all under attack by the liberal left and, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood, which I just mentioned. I constantly say the liberal left, even though a bunch of the so-called right are going right along with this war on America, too. The reason why I do not include them in my talk is because they are already included. We have people like Senator John McCain, who tries to tell us that he is the only true conservative out here, when in fact he is nothing but a liberal in Republicans' clothing. He just hasn't come out of the closet yet to announce that he is really a liberal. That plus the fact that there are still a few sticky things in his mind that continue to swing to the conservative side, even though they are always losing ground. The definition of defending the Constitution and this land have not changed over the last centuries. What has changed is the perception of what is real and true and what is false and a lie and the truth. We have people right now like Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Mike Lee who are fighting with all their might for this country and the Constitution that has kept a free and liberty-loving nation since its beginning. And yet, it is they who have been tainted by the shouts of traitor and sneers of disdain that come from the left. Now, that is where I bring the ones, the so-called right, that really do not belong there, like John McCain's and Lindsey Graham's up. John McCain has said some pretty nasty and despicable things about Senator Ted Cruz, I think mainly because Senator Cruz scares the hell out of the McCains of our nation. They know that Senator Cruz and Senator Lee are right about the direction we are going. In their feeble little minds, you know, I'm talking about John McCain here, if we do this, it will take the power away from them that they have. And because of the battles they have fought for America, all on the wrong side of the tracks, that is probably true. The trouble is their rhetoric about how they will lose power if they give in to the Ted Cruz's and the Mike Lee's of our Senate has pervaded the Republican Party, and many of them have lost the backbone to fight for this nation anymore for fear of not being liked by the Democrats or being reelected by the people. The way they are all going, we'll never give the kudos of friendship from those on the left, because if you have an R behind your name, they will always despise you. So if the John McCains of Congress really want the left to like them, then they need to defect to the other side, and soon, so we can start concentrating on the things that we have to save this nation from the perils that she now faces. Because all the McCains and the Grahams of the world will do nothing but take our attentions off of what is needed to be attended to and to help the liberal left, liberal destruction of America and the free and the beautiful, no matter what the liberals say here, folks. We are right. They are wrong. We have to start turning our attentions not to what the liberal left is saying and their cronies want us to concentrate on, but only on the saving of this great nation before it is too late to save her for our children, and their children's futures. It is like Reagan once said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fit and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and their and our children's children what it was once like to live in the United States where men were free. He is so right on this one, because government exists to protect us from each other. Where government has gone beyond its limits is in deciding to promote to protect us from ourselves. And that is where our government is taking our freedoms away from us daily, in deciding for us that we need to be protected from us by them. America will continue to be on its downward spiral until this fixed and government until this is fixed and the government is put back in its rightful place, not where it is decided it needs to be. All I can say to Obama and the government is, out, damn spot, leave us alone. Only God can rule us the way that you have decided we need to be. And that is my thought of the day. We have just one section of the show left, and that's where I talk about the different shows that we have coming up. Tomorrow we have American by Design. I put that link back in the chat room again. With Uncle Bing Fisher, with his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals for what America is and what America should be. This show airs Sunday evenings, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. And, of course, like I said, that is tomorrow night. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the week with his veterans' insight and most informative guests to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart. There is nothing more outrageous to an American than to find out about an innocent being convicted of a crime they didn't commit when the wheels of justice fall off. These two give you an insight into the dark side of our judicial system at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and that's a good show if you ever want to listen to it. Also on Tuesdays is the Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now. She's here on conservativenationmedia.com on Tuesdays after A Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. On Wednesdays, we have our leader with the great radio voice, Duke Brooks, with his show, Radio Free America. Our man Duke has hanger-flying right-wing politics and American history down pat, and that is always interesting and fun to listen to. On Thursday is the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise on the Constitution will give you great information to continue the fight for this country as the war that is being waged against us. It airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And on Saturdays, you are treated with my show, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, with yours truly, the infidel, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, always. And don't forget the coming events that we have coming for traditional Americans with the Save the Constitution rallies that are coming in the next few months in April. in Tennessee and in June in Dearborn, Michigan. This nation is worth saving, and I hope more and more Americans wake up to that fact that she does need saving. And I thank you all again for listening to this show. But before I let you go, I will leave you all with a great thought by a great friend of mine. His name is Douglas B. Gibbs. He has a radio show about the Constitution here on Blog Talk Radio, but he also does a blog called Political Pistachio. And in that he said, "I believe we can turn this country around. It is never too late. As long as somebody still stands for liberty, liberty lives. I do not accept the world as I see it, but as God meant it to be. I am determined to return us to the recipe that made America great. I choose not to sit on my couch and complain as I watch things happen, but be an active participant in restoring our constitutional republic. The left does not anger me. I will not give them that kind of power over me. We must take responsibility for our freedom. We must secure liberty by changing reality and promoting our attitudes and beliefs. We must rid ourselves of self-defeating attitudes and behaviors and replace them with constructive ones. We must see the success that many cannot." Now, isn't that the truth? Until then, God bless you all. Thank you for stopping in and listening to the show. Hope to see you all next week. God bless you.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start a ring. Is raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
God bless you all.